Welcome to the Back to the Roundtable. I'm Joe Donahue. One of our dear friends is in the studio, and we're catching up. Kathy Stevens has been on this program many times before, and I was just thinking, I think it's the first time she's come to the studio without an animal.
Yeah, I decided to leave the animal home. We don't have any who would be terribly appropriate. You know,
well,
we have 300-pound pigs, not 40-pound pigs.
We've had pigs in the studio. We've had, there were some birds. We had what? Right?
Ducks, roosters, and a little pig named Franklin who pooped in here. And
that's
you
right.
Guys were such good sports.
Well, you know, certainly not the first time that something is. Anyway, more than 2,000 animals have lived at Catskill Animal Sanctuary since its founding in 2003, and while the love Kathy Stevens and her staff have for them is stunning, more remarkable is who the animals become at this place where kindness rules, and it's a delight to have Kathy Stevens back to the roundtable this morning. We always love having you on the program.
Thank you, Joe Donahue. I love this show, love this station.
Well, you're great. Thank you. So what's going on? We've been talking a little bit just about over the last year. You know, does weather, do those kinds of things have an impact on the sanctuary?
Yeah, in lots of ways. From a practical point of view, winter is our most difficult season. There's more work when you have 3 feet of snow on the ground, obviously. It's more costly because you're doubling or tripling the amount of hay that you feed. And it's also when marginal people, and animal hoarders struggle the most, so we tend to get our largest influx of animals in the winter, and I think that's probably true of most sanctuaries.
You, roughly, how many animals do you have on right now?
Probably right at 300, 305.
Is that your
something
max?
Like that.
I mean, you have a limit or no?
We have a second property that we're in the process of doing a capital campaign to so that we can expand our capacity on a lot of different levels, but you only can take as many, obviously, as you can provide well for, whether that's physical space, financial resources, or human resources. So yeah, you max out.
You've been on the show many times. I knew you were from Virginia, but I don't know that I noticed the accent as much.
It comes out when I get tired or when I've had one too many glasses of wine.
Well, I won't ask you which applies in this case, but it's...
Fortunately, neither.
Oh, all right. It is, you know, it's such an amazing place that you have there. I mentioned in the introduction, you've been around since 2003, and it has grown. So just to refresh people's memories on this, what give us a typical situation that someone will come to you?
Sure thing. We interact a lot with SPCAs and police, sometimes local police, sometimes police halfway across the country, because as an emergency-based rescue, you take according to the urgency of the need. So a lot of animal hoarding cases, that's one of the primary ways animals come in. People compulsively collect everything. They're not just crazy cat ladies. And... you know, you then have to deal with both the physical and the psychological trauma that these animals have been through. Another way that we get animals is when people can no longer afford them. When we went through that, the economic crisis, lots
right.
of farms were in foreclosure. And then probably the greatest number of animals come to us through industry, through agribusiness. When, you know, we took 300 chickens, 200 chickens a few months ago, when an egg-laying facility was closing down one of its warehouses and just going to gas the birds, which is what typically happens, gassing or crushing or suffocating. Or grinding up, and West Coast Sanctuary reached out, and 1,100 birds were transported across the country. So all kinds of ways.
So there's a network, too. I mean, if something like that happens, you find out about
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You've used a word a couple of times, and I know it, of course, but it is it's an interesting concept to me, which is animal hoarding. Do we know a lot about the psychology of that, of what it is that puts people in that position? Because it would indicate, in the cases that I have been familiar with, and in cases where I've known the people, is that they come off as like the ultimate animal lover, right?
They do.
And yet there is what we would all of us outside of that look as some form of abuse.
Well, it has just been, within the last year, it's been recognized as a mental illness and put into that big, I can never remember, it's called the DSM, but I don't know what the D and the S and the M stand for.
No, I don't either, but there's a scale of disorder, but yes.
So fortunately, now that it has been recognized as a mental illness, it can be treated as a mental illness, but it is truly a misunderstood and largely invisible epidemic in this country. And on the surface, people often do consider these people saviors, but they will rarely let you beyond the front door. And when you get in, all the situations are alike. There's always deaths. There are always injured animals. They're very typically piles of dead animals. So it's really just a horror show once you get past that smiling face, always eager to take the next animal.
Yeah. DSM, by the way, stands for Diagnostic and Statistical Manual.
I don't know why I can't remember statistical. But,
yeah, well, it doesn't say, it doesn't really fit into
it. It doesn't.
Yeah. But, so, and for the record, I just Googled that. not that I knew that off the top of my head. There is, so you deal with issues like that. I know you had an Earth Day piece, regarding, veganism, mm-hmm. And which is also one of your causes of which obviously is very linked to what you do.
Mm-hmm. It's this really the second part of our mission. The first part, of course, is emergency rescue, and that's the real joy of the work. You're such an animal lover, Joe, so you can imagine what it's like to take a broken being and say to it with all that you say and do and provide that you're safe.
Yeah.
You're going to be loved. The greater challenge is really, I feel, the moral imperative of our time. How do we animal people, we people who consider ourselves environmentalists, help good people who would never hoard animals, starve animals, throw an animal out a car window, all the typical things our minds conjure up when we think of animal cruelty, understand that our way of feeding the planet is causing torture and suffering that one would not wish upon the vilest human being your mind could conjure up, for billions of animals, making us sick, and Joe, destroying the planet. Whether you take, there are a couple of statistics that are frequently used. One is the United Nations statistic. Six or eight years ago, they put out a study that showed that 18% of greenhouse emissions were caused by the agriculture sector, primarily meat and dairy. And then a couple years later, World Watch said no. Their study was flawed. Half of the global emissions that's bringing about the calamity that we're seeing is caused by meat and dairy. And so how do we, when will we say enough is enough? Do our taste buds trump everything? I was crying in the green room reading a Mother Jones. There's a Mother Jones, a new Mother Jones has.
Oh, thank God. I thought you were listening to the show.
Something about.
That's why you were crying. Oh, good.
has a piece, sad little piece on a puffin, the story of a little puffin who was on a puffin cam, and the little puffin, watched by all the world, starved to death because its parents couldn't get its food, its normal type of food, because its food didn't exist. You know, it's being predicted now that there will be no more edible fish by the turn of the century. We're raping the oceans. At what point does humanity say, I do, I, whether or not, even if you're indifferent to animals, at what point do we say, every single one of us say, I do want the earth to be here. I do want the earth to thrive. I do, clean water does matter. Clean air does matter. Mm. So I will believe that, you know, given that it takes 16 to 20 times the natural resources to feed someone on a plant-based diet as it does to feed a meat and dairy, isn't that enough for your kind, progressive, caring audience to say, okay, I'm done?
So as you mentioned, this is a part of your mission. So how do you realize that? How do you get that message out?
Sorry to be so long-winded.
No.
You got me on a roll.
No, I know. You're passionate about it, as understandably so.
We have a few ways of getting at it. We have for the youngsters, we have a wonderful camp called Camp Kindness for 9 to 14-year-olds. It's a 6-week camp. We have a Compassionate Cuisine program that we're expanding via lots more food offerings and a blog. Linda, our wonderful chef, Linda Soper Colton, will soon be blogging. We have tours every weekend starting at 11 on Saturdays and Sundays. I blog on the Huffington Post. I have a new column in the Saugerties Times, fourth Friday of every month. I speak at colleges all around the regions and conferences. And most importantly, we've just purchased this new property that will give us more room. It's about 10,000 square feet under roof. Needs a lot of work, but that will give us much more space for programming. So we try to meet people where they are, encourage them with love, but also with the urgency of this. This is not, I am not a crazy person, Joe. These are facts.
Yeah. When you look at the numbers, it seems to me as though hasn't this caught on a bit? I mean, haven't we seen the numbers of vegetarians and vegans increase, is my understanding.
They are increasing. Meat consumption has dropped by 12% since 2007. Everywhere you look, I mean, think about shopping at the supermarket. Supermarket looks pretty different. The dairy section looks pretty different. Lots of non-dairy offerings. Lots.
Right.
Almond milk in Stewart's. Little Stewart's has almond milk. So, yes, people are understanding that they need to do this from whatever perspective.
Oh, can I be stupid for a second?
Yes, please.
Why dairy? Meaning the cow, so the cow comes in.
That's
and
not
you...
stupid.
Okay.
That's not stupid. Everybody thinks that. Doctors don't understand that cows do not spontaneously make milk. So cows, do you mean from a cruelty angle or from a health angle?
Both. I mean, in the sense of, my understanding is, like, you know, my mother, growing up during the Depression, had a farm, would go out, milk the cow, provide the milk for the table, and that cow was the family cow. Right.
Right,
and they would make the milk and do all the things. So, is there cruelty that there, and is there because there's the health benefits and also the agricultural benefits to the family. I mean, I realize we're away from that, but I'm just,
it's a factory model now.
Yeah.
So today, the animals, the babies are taken from these loving mothers instantly. Mothers cry and cry.
Yeah.
Babies are killed. They're given bovine growth hormone so that they're producing so much more milk and then hooked up to machines. And they're so exhausted by this overproduction and by the stress of being a milk machine and from the deprivation of their life, that they only reach a couple years old, 2 or 3 years old, before their broken, spent bodies just give up. Their production tapers off, at which point the industry doesn't want them. So that's, and then they're slaughtered for cheap meat. So that's a t- tiny bit of what's wrong with the industry from a cruelty perspective. From the health perspective, there's a link between dairy and Parkinson's disease. Keep in mind, when you drink milk, this is disgusting, but you're drinking pus, you're drinking lots of antibiotics. So from a health perspective, and there are links between dairy and meat and all kinds of cancers, colon cancer, prostate cancer. Mm. So I get that it's hard. I grew up on a farm.
Yeah.
That it's hard for us to make this switch because the industry's so powerful. The marketing is so powerful. There's such an incestuous, insidious relationship between the big producers who aren't the farmers like your mama.
Right?
That's not who they are. It's a few farms that are multi-billion dollar corporations and they're links to the USDA. Did you know that the USDA's budget that it spends to promote dairy and meat is 30 times larger than their budget to protect us for food safety, and that they may not issue a mandatory meat recall? They can only recommend.
Mm.
There's a wonderful book, if listeners are interested, called Sure Did Open My Eyes. I knew some of this, but not all of it, called Meatonomics by a guy named David Simon. It's a brand new book, and it's pretty powerful.
We're just about out of time, but what are you, what's coming up at the sanctuary? Anything fun you want to tell us about?
What's coming up? Well, camp registration is in full swing. We are launching this huge capital campaign to raise $1.2 or $3 million for this new property that's going to expand our capacity.
Good for
and
you.
We're doing lots of writing and speaking, so we just encourage people to stay tuned via all our social media channels and the website.
We, if you just go to our website, wamc.org/roundtable, we have links to the Catskill Animal Sanctuary, and you can find out about all the good work that they do. Kathy Stevens is of the Catskill Animal Sanctuary, and you're open. People can go down and see you.
We are open. And 11 o'clock is our first tour. Last tour is 2:30 Saturdays and Sundays, and it is not your ordinary tour. Lots of pig kissing, lots of free-range animals just getting all up in people's business.
Nothing says a good Saturday like pig kissing.
That's true.
Yeah, that's very fun. And thank you for your passion and their great work.
Thank you so much for listening. We're sort of, tipping things on their sides here, but I really do hope that people will join us because we're out of time. We got to change.
Kathy Stevens of the Catskill Animal Sanctuary, thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Joe.
Always a delight. Thank you.
Likewise.
Coming up, we'll talk with the folks from the Schenectady Civic Players production of Room Service. That and much more coming up next on The Roundtable.